Thank you, Joy. Good evening, everyone. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 38 from your spiral, Gospel Hymns Hymn Book, number 38. Let's all stand together.
Come, every sinner saved by grace, you who by faith God's Son embrace, tell all who hear your voice below, the debt of love to Christ you owe. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. He left his Father's throne above and came to earth on wings of love. For us he lived the perfect man and so fulfilled the law's demand. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Jesus endured his Father's ire and died at the appointed hour. What he endured no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From death's dark grave our King arose and triumphed over all our foes. Up through the skies the victor rode and reigns on high, our Savior God. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From heaven Christ will quickly come and bring his ransomed people home. There we shall see his lovely face and chant the praises of his grace. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee.
Please be seated.
Let's open our Bibles together to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. We're going to be looking at a couple of verses in Judges chapter 5 tonight that are a prayer of God's people for the Lord to save us and to meet with us. And so I thought this is a good supporting passage to the message. Look at Isaiah 64, beginning at verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Lord gives us faith. We can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Mountains here represent separation. And it's a picture of our sin. And when the Lord comes down, the mountains melt away. And that separation no longer exists. Verse 2, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, and that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. We weren't looking for Christ. Yet what he did when he died on Calvary's cross is he put away the sins of his people. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. And in those is continuance. We can't live in this life without sin. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. That's grace. In spite of the fact that we cannot live without sin, we shall be saved. If the Lord rends the heavens, if he comes down, if the mountains flow out of the way. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay. Thou art potter, we are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. The holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is desolate, is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful houses, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Let's pray. Our glorious and gracious Heavenly Father, this is our prayer tonight, that you would rend the heavens, that you would send the fire of your gospel down to melt away the mountains. Surely we have all gone astray. Surely our righteousness are as filthy rags, and our sin is continuance. Lord, we are in need of your mercy and in need of your grace. We're in need of Christ and his accomplished work of redemption. Lord, we need your salvation. We pray that you would be merciful to us in spite of us. Well, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 212. And let's all stand together again. Number 212.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other. nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Please be seated.
I love that hymn. That's one of the simplest and clearest gospel hymns that I know. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you open your Bibles with me to Judges chapter 5, please? Judges chapter 5. Our Lord tells us that when we come into His presence, we bring with us words. What words do we bring? Well, we bring to Him His Word. In the Song of Solomon, when the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His bride, He says to her that her lips are like honey to Him. And that honey is a picture of the Word of God. And so the Lord's given us words to speak. We don't speak them in vain repetition. We don't just say words for the sake of words. But I want to bring a message tonight from these words, which are a prayer that believers can offer up to God. And if the Lord enables us to bring these words with some understanding, I believe that we will see the promise of God fulfilled in making Himself known unto us. Look here in verse 12 Judges chapter 5. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Utter a song. Speak peace to my heart. Barak, arise and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me to have dominion over the mighty. What I want you to see tonight is that Deborah is a picture of the Word of God, and that Barak is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the written word is a revelation of the living word. And we go to God's word that He might reveal to us the person of Christ. And so when we go before the Lord and we say to Him in prayer, what I trust that you are saying right now, and what I plead every time I try to prepare, and every time I try to stand up here and preach, awake, awake, O Deborah. Lord, cause your word to be effectual to my heart. Give me ears to hear. Show me the revelation of your Son by your word. You say, well, how does Deborah represent the word of God? Well, in chapter 4, there was no prophets in Israel. This is that time between the this is that period of time in the nation of Israel between the fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the kings of Israel. There's no prophet in the land, and so the Lord raises up judges, and the scripture says that the people went to Deborah to hear what God's word was. Deborah was the one who the Lord used to express his word to the children of Israel. Now, Deborah's name translated means bee, a bee, a honeybee. And bees do two things. Bees sting and bees produce honey. And those things are spoken of in the scriptures. When God's word stings our conscience and reveals to us again and again and again that we sin in continuance, then it is the realization of our sin and our sinfulness that causes us to flee to Christ as our Savior and for the forgiveness of our sin. And so when we cry, awake, awake, Deborah, Lord, make your word effectual to my heart. Reveal to me not only Christ, but my need for Christ. And when a bee stings, that it sets all your senses on edge, does it not? It's hard to be lethargic when you're stung by a bee. It become very much alive. And that's our prayer when we go to God's word, that he would heighten our senses and that he would make us alive and that his word would be spoken effectually by his spirit to our hearts. I think about the prophet Ezekiel when the Lord brought him before that valley of dry bones, which is a picture of us. This is the whole house of Israel is what that passage says. We've been slayed by sin. And Ezekiel prophesies. He preaches the word of God to this valley of dry bones. And the scripture says, but yet there was no life in them. And so the Lord says to the son of to Israel, to Ezekiel, he said, son of man, prophesy unto the wind. Call upon the Holy Spirit to empower the words that have been spoken, that they might give life to these dead bones, these dried bones. And that's our prayer. Awake, awake, Deborah. Lord, empower your word. Don't let it just be words on a page. Make them effectual to my heart. Cause the bones to come together. Breathe life into my soul. Lord, sin has had its way with me, and I'm in need of a Savior. And I know the means by which you sting me is going to be your word. The conviction of sin, how necessary that is for our salvation, for the Lord to make us to be a sinner, to cause us to really believe that all our righteousnesses, as we just read in Isaiah chapter 64, are as filthy rags, that truly we have all gone astray. We each gone into our own way. Lord, I have no righteousness. I have no claim on God. I'm in need of Christ. That's the work of the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, convicting us that we're sinful. And so, the Word of God also not only brings the sting of death, or the sting of sin, to our conscience and to our confession, but it also brings us to Christ, for the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, through Christ Jesus, we have the victory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He has put away our sin. He satisfied the demands of God's holy law. So here we have the ministry of the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, showing us not only are we sinners, but Christ is our successful Savior who has taken the sting out of sin and out of death. Truly, sin finished its course in the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, verse 15. Child of God, sin can never finish its course in your life. It can't. As long as we're in this world, we're going to be threatened, we're going to be tempted, we're going to be accused. But sin cannot finish its course. It finished its course in Christ. It brought death to Him so that it cannot ever kill us. Not eternally. Now here we have the glorious truth of that seen in this one called Deborah, the bee, picturing the Word of God, bringing salvation to the soul of God's people. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. The Lord uses His Word. He doesn't save apart from the preaching of the gospel, which is the Word of God. God's Word will stand. It'll bring the sting of death to judgment, which is exactly what it did when the Word of God bore the sins of these people on Calvary's cross. God's Word is true. And for those who reject Christ, the sting of God's Word will bring about God's eternal judgment on that final day. The Lord told that rich man who went to hell when he asked to send Lazarus, you remember, and dip his finger in water and cool his torment and go warn my brothers. Go warn my brothers. And what did Abraham say to the rich man in hell? He said, there's a great gulf fixed between us. Lazarus can't come relieve you of your torment. And your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. If they will not hear them, neither will they believe the one raised from the dead. And so, you know, here's the means by which God gives us. We have the Word of God. We have Moses and the prophets, and we have one that's raised from the dead. We have the Word of God to assure us that the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death, that the sting of sin has been put away. I think we looked at this passage on Sunday, but let's turn again to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. God's Word is true. It will not pass away. The Lord said, heaven and earth will pass away. My Word will not pass away. His Word will stand true for all eternity. It doesn't change. And the Lord says here in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Oh, how simple is that? They that believe not the word of God now, the word will stand in judgment against them. And so here's a picture of the Word of God, which stands true, stings the soul of its need for Christ, stung Christ, and destroyed death, and ultimately will bring about the sting of death to all that refuse to believe on Christ. Not only does a bee sting, but a bee brings the sweetness of honey. And how oftentimes we see in the scriptures that the Word of God is likened unto honey. The scriptures refer to the promised land, which is where we're sitting right now, as a land that is flowing with milk and honey. The milk is the Word of God. The honey is the Word of God. One represents its nourishment and one represents its sweetness. And so it is that when we say in prayer, "Awake, awake, O Deborah," what we're praying is, "Lord, send your Spirit to empower your Word to not only show me the effects of its sting, but to sweeten my taste and to give me that joy and that comfort and that hope that can only be found in Christ. To give me that everlasting life that will comfort me in all my trials and troubles." When the children of Israel went to war against the Philistines, Saul foolishly made a decree telling all the men at battle that they were to eat nothing that day. And you remember Jonathan came across some honey. And the scripture says that he took his staff and he dipped it in the honey. And he put it to his lips and his eyes were lightened. That's what he said when he came before his father Saul. And his father wanted to execute him to fulfill his decree. And the people stood against Saul and saved Jonathan. But Jonathan said, "My eyes were enlightened. When I touched the staff into the honey and put it to my lips, my eyes were enlightened." There's the sweetness of the Word of God. Through all the fog and darkness of this world and sin and all the lies and deceit, the Word of God enlightens the eyes of our understanding. And it brings everything into sweetness, into life. When the manna came for 40 years, 6 days a week, the manna fell from heaven. And the children of Israel went out and gathered it up. And the scripture says that it was sweet like honey. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know, is that manna. The Lord said, "Moses did not give you that manna that came down from heaven. My Father gave it unto you, and I am the bread of life. And I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Awake, awake, O Deborah. Lord, make your Word living so that I understand the sting of sin and the sting of death and how it was conquered in Christ. And Lord, make it sweet to my soul. Give me a desire for it. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding and make it that bread of life. In Judges chapter 14, Samson kills a lion, and then he comes back and he finds that inside the carcass of that lion a swarm of bees and honey. And you remember he makes a riddle. And the riddle is, out of the eater comes meat, and out of the strong comes sweet. And there's the picture. Out of the one who is able to consume us all by the breath of his wrath comes the sweetness of his word and comes the meat of the gospel. And so over and over again, we see this picture of the sweetness of the Word of God. I want God's Word to be sweet to me. I don't want it to be cold doctrine. I don't want it to be old story. I want it to be a new story, fresh and alive and effectual. And that's why we pray, awake, awake, O Deborah. Lord, empower your Word that it might do its work in stinging and in the sweetness of Christ. In Psalm chapter 81, verse 16, the scripture speaks of honey coming out of the rock, which satisfies me. That's there. There's the sweetness of God's word. Just like out of the strong comes meat, and out of the eater comes meat, and out of the strong comes sweet. So out of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ is that rock, flows the honey of his word. Awake, awake, O Deborah. Lord, don't make your word alive to me. Revelation chapter 10. The Lord gives to John a scroll and tells him to eat it. And that's the word of God. And John puts it into his mouth and he says, it was sweet like honey to my taste. But when I swallowed it, it was bitter to my belly. Now, you know what the belly is in the scriptures. It's the flesh. And the word of God is bitter to the flesh. It exposes the flesh for what it is. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and they won't come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. And so it is with the flesh. The word of God is bitter to the flesh. And yet that's the sting, isn't it? That's the sting of the bee. And so awake, awake, Deborah. Yes, expose my flesh for what it is. Be bitter to my flesh, but be sweet to my taste. Over and over again. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 27, the Lord said, it is not good to eat too much honey. What does that mean? It is not good to eat too much honey. And then in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16, it says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. Because if you eat too much, you'll vomit it. What is the Lord telling us? You know, men in religion, I can't tell you how many people I've had over the years tell me, who don't know the gospel. I mean, it's clear in conversation. They're going to a false church. They don't know the gospel. But you know what they boast about? How many times they've read the entire Bible. I've had people tell me, you know, I've read the Bible 10 times. I've read the Bible, you know, this many times. And, you know, the man that built this building told me how many times he read the Bible. And yet he won't come here and hear the gospel. What are they doing? They're just indulging in too much honey, and they vomit it up without any understanding. Wait. You know, the best way to read God's word is read it in small portions. And ruminate. You remember we looked at that Sunday about the clean animal who takes his food. And the only animal that's clean is the one who chews the cud. He regurgitates it and chews it, and he draws all the nourishment out of that. When you read your Bibles, don't see how much of it you can read. Look for a nugget of truth that you can regurgitate and ruminate on all day long. The scripture's clear. If you found honey, good. Don't eat too much of it. It'll make you sick. That's what religious people do. They think, well, if I can just eat more and more honey, I'll get better and better. No. Take it in small portions. Find a verse or an idea or a thought or something that you can meditate on all day long. And it'll be much more profitable to you than trying to consume large portions of the Bible. There's the honey. Isn't that true? That's
that's what the Lord says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. God will bless that word if we keep our portions of honey. That's what Jonathan said. He took it a little bit, just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 15 says, butter and honey shall you eat, that you might know how to refuse that which is evil and choose that which is good. Here's what God's word does. It reveals Christ, the sweetness of his way. I mentioned John in Revelation chapter 10 taking that scroll and eating it, and it was sweet to his taste and bitter to his belly. The same thing happens in Ezekiel chapter 3 when the prophet Ezekiel takes a scroll and he's commanded of God to eat it. And he eats it, and he's sweet like honey to his taste, and it's bitter to his belly. And then the Lord says, now, go speak. take that which you've eaten and declare it. Speak to my people. John the Baptist, the scripture says, lived on locust and wild honey. And locusts are driven by the wind. They're high in protein, and they were actually approved by the Levitical law as in the dietary laws for the children of Israel. They could eat them. People eat them all over the world. I'm glad we don't have to eat them here, but they're driven by the wind. And so here's another picture of honey. There's one more thing that we're talking about, this prayer where we come before the Lord and we ask the Lord, Lord, awake in your word, make it effectual to my hearts. I pray this will be our prayer every time we come together. Lord, cause your word to be alive. Let it sting where it needs to sting, but always show me the sting of death that it accomplished in Christ. And let it be sweet, Lord. I don't want to just be hearing and saying the same things over and over again without any feeling, without any beauty, without any sweetness. One more thing that that honey does. I mean, that bees do. I'm sorry. You know what it is? They pollinate. Don't hear much about it, but from what I understand, that we have threatened our own existence with pesticides in killing off large colonies of bees. And there's beekeepers around the world that are concerned that if we continue to use certain pesticides on our crops, that it, that it infects the bees and kills the bees. That would be the end of civilization. If we had no bees, we would have no way to pollinate the crops and produce the fruit, the food that we need to survive. In the bee is life. And so it is with the word of God. Awake, awake, O Deborah. Lord, I'm nothing but death in myself. Lord, unless you make the sweetness of your word and the sting of your word effectual to my heart by your spirit, there'll be no life. There'll be no life in me. And there's plenty of pesticides in my sin to kill off the bees
if you don't help me, Lord. We're dependent on bees for life. And yet here's what the Lord said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill the word of God. He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And to make all the promises of God, yea and amen. Awake, awake, O Deborah. Lord, cause your word to be alive and effectual to my heart. The other thing we know about Deborah from chapter 4 of Judges is her father's name was Lapidoth, which translated means a flaming torch. So everything about Deborah points us to Christ and his word. You remember in Genesis chapter 15 when the Lord was confirming his covenant promises with Abraham, and Abraham took those animals and he divided them and put them one on this side and one on the other side. And the scripture says that a smoking furnace and a flaming torch came down between those animals. Now there you have Christ, his word being the flaming torch. And the smoking furnace being his prayers, his intercession on behalf of his people. Peter, Satan has asked to sift you, but be of good cheer. I've prayed for you. There we find the difference between Peter and Judas, don't we? The Lord interceded on behalf of Peter in his sin. He didn't do that for, I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world. And so here Deborah's father's name means a flaming torch, the light of the gospel in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the light of the world. And he said in John chapter 17, he said, I have given them thy words which thou gavest unto me. So here we have Deborah's father being the flaming torch. Our Lord said, Lord, I didn't speak my words. I spoke the words that I got from my father. I have given them the words that thou hast given me to give unto them. And they have received them. And they've believed them. Here's what we're praying. Awake, awake, O Deborah. Lord, might the light of the gospel shine by your word into my heart. And might the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ be made real to my life. Not believing the Bible, not believing God's word, is calling God a liar. Anything more offensive to you than for someone to call you a liar? It's pretty offensive, isn't it? How much more offensive? We are by nature liars, and but to call God a liar? To not believe his word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Believing God is not believing that he will do something or that he wants to do something. It's believing that God will do everything that he said. Every word that he has spoken is true and faithful. And so we pray, Lord, give me faith to believe all that you've declared. Give me faith to believe on Christ. Give me faith to see Christ in your word. Awake, awake, O Deborah. Bowing to God's word as true and faithful, and bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ as the living word of God. That's what faith is. Faith is a gift of God. So we pray. Here's our prayer. Awake, awake, O Deborah. In chapter 4, not only do we learn about Deborah's father, but we learn about where Deborah was. Scripture says that she was by the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel.
Now, Ramah translated means a high place, and Bethel means the house of God. And here we have again a picture of the word of God, which is on a high place. It's not like the words of men. It's a revelation that comes directly from God. It's heaven's word. It's God's word. And she's, where is she? Where, when the children of Israel go to Deborah to get the word of God, where is she? She's at a palm tree. And the scripture says they shall flourish like a palm tree. And palms, you know, are not really trees. They're grass. They're not trees at all. And the Lord said, tell them they're grass. So we have Deborah hanging out between Ramah and Bethel at a palm tree, dispersing the word of God. Here's what we are. The life of a palm tree is in the heart of the tree. Palm trees are evergreens, and palm trees are fruit bearing, and palm trees only grow where the sun is warm. And palm trees withstand storms that other trees can't stand. And so it's a picture of God's church. Here's where Deborah is. We come here to hear God's word. And by hearing, we're asking, Deborah, awake. Lord, make your word effectual to my heart. Let it sting me where it needs to sting me. Show me how it has stung Christ. Show me how it is a flaming torch and reveals the truth. And make it sweet to my taste, though it be bitter to my belly. Awake, awake, O Deborah. This is where she is. Now look at the rest of this verse. We're going to conclude with this. Look at, if Deborah awakes, if God answers that prayer, then Barak will awake. For Barak here is a picture of Christ. Arise, Barak. Here's what the awakening of the Word of God does in our hearts. It causes us to see the Lord Jesus Christ having conquered death and having arisen and having ascended back to heaven and seeing Him seated at the right hand of God. And so our prayer is, awake. Lord, send your word in power. Rend the heavens. Open the eyes of my understanding. Make your word effectual to my heart. Make these little tastes of sweetness and nourishment to my soul. Show me Christ. Show me Christ. Barak's name means lightning. That's what it means. And if you think about the history of the world, how long is 33 years? It's a flash of lightning, isn't it? And I don't know enough about it to be able to explain it. And I wouldn't waste your time in trying to if I did. But I do know enough about lightning to know that the ions in our atmosphere and that the magnetic fields at our earth require lightning. If lightning ceased in the world, we would all die. Those flashes of lightning have an effect on the natural world in which we live. And we can't live without it. What a picture. Arise, O Barak. Lord, cause your lightning to flash. Scripture says that even as the lightning flashes from the east and is seen all the way to the west, so is the Son of God. Lord, arise. Arise. Show yourself. We pray for so many things in vain, don't we? We pray amiss for many things that we might consume it upon our own lust. Here is a prayer. The Lord said, come to me with words. What are we praying? Lord, make your word alive. Make it a two-edged sword. Make it sweet to my taste. Give me a desire for it. And reveal Christ to me through it. Barak's father's name was Obinoam. You see that in our text. Look at our text in Judges chapter 5. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Make your word musical to my soul. Oh, songs are pleasant, aren't they? This isn't a dirge. This isn't a sad song. This is a song of praise and rejoicing. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive. That's what the Lord Jesus did. When he came into this world, he broke down the gates of hell. He said, the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against the gospel. He went in and took those who were captive to death and hell and sin, who could not believe, and he made them captive to himself. And the scripture says that he went back into glory. Look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Look at verse 18 in Psalm 68. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. This is that prayer. Lord, thou hast ascended back on high. The Father said to his Son, sit thou here at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I have made thee a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the Lord Jesus said, I must go to my Father, or the Holy Spirit will not come. Here's our prayer, Lord. Rend the heavens, send your Spirit, give me your Spirit. Without your Spirit, the Word of God is just going to be empty words. They're not going to be effectual to my soul. They're not going to show me the sting of death in me and in Christ. They're not going to be sweet to my taste. Lord, you've ascended into heaven. You've led captivity captive. You've taken your captives with you so that all the blessings of God are in the heavenlies in Christ right now. And he has sent gifts unto men, the gift of his Spirit, that this prayer might be answered. Arise, arise, Deborah, arise, arise, sing a song. Awake. And arise, Barak, thy son of Obinuam. Now, Obinuam means the delight of my father. So, the Lord Jesus Christ delighted in his father, and the father delighted in him. And everything he did was according to the will of his father, to please his father. He said, I have come to do thy will, O God. I have done away with the first, the law, that I might establish the second, grace. He came to save his people. And the scripture says that Barak came out of Kadesh. Now, Kadesh was one of the cities of refuge. God gave to the children of Israel cities of refuge so that if they accidentally killed someone, though the law said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And if you killed someone in malice, then you were put to death. That was the law. But if you killed someone accidentally, the Lord provided cities of refuge that you could go to and stay in that city. And the avenger of blood, which was the nearest of kin of the person that you killed, could not touch you as long as you were in the city of refuge. How many people do you think were guilty of manslaughter, killed someone accidentally in the Old Testament? And rather than running to the city of refuge, they pled, well, I didn't mean it. It was an accident. I'm sorry. You know, that's what men say today. Well, you know, I didn't really mean to do that. It was an accident. And the Lord Jesus affirmed that sentiment when he said to his Father from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In fact, all of our sin, we're guilty of it, we're charged with it, but we don't understand the horrors of it. Nevertheless, the city of refuge is Christ. He's that place. Barak came from the city of refuge. We've got to go to the city of refuge to meet our lightning, the son of Obinoam. Daniel chapter 10. I think I quoted this past Sunday, where Daniel saw the Lord and he said, "My comeliness turned within me into corruption. That which I thought was beautiful and strong in me when I saw the Lord." Well, what did he see? Daniel chapter 10 verse 6 says, "His face was like the appearance of lightning." Here's Barak. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that exactly what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? When Peter, James, and John saw him and the brightness of his glory was such that they had to hide their faces. It was like the noonday sun is what the scripture says. You can't look into the sun with a naked eye. Like lightning. Awake, awake, O Deborah, God, make your word effectual. Cause me to see and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered death and hell. Psalm chapter 7 verse 6 says, "Awake for me, awake for me to the judgment which thou hast commanded." The Father commanded the Son to become the substitute and sin bearer. He agreed into that relationship, didn't he? But all the commandments and will of God were accomplished at Calvary's cross. The agreement that God made with God in the covenant of grace. And here's the believer saying, "Awake unto me and fulfill the judgments of thy commandments." Bring unto me words. We don't speak these words in vain repetition. We speak them from our hearts in one fashion or the other. Rend the heavens and come down. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Lord, cause your word to be sweet and effectual to my soul. And reveal to me the Lord Jesus Christ, that the judgments of your commandments might be exercised in my soul, to the putting away of my sin, the saving of my soul. Lord, I've got no place else to go. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, this is our prayer, and we pray that you would keep it on our hearts and lips continually as we look to Christ through your word. Depending on your Spirit, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
168.
Let's stand together. 168.
Showers of blessing, thou art scattering full and free. showers the thirsty land refreshing. Let some drops now fall on me, even me, even me. Let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O tender Savior, let me love and cling to thee. I am longing for thy favor, whilst thou art calling, O call me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, thou canst make the blind to see. Witnesser of Jesus' merit, speak the word of power to me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Love of God so pure and changeless, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and boundless, magnify them all in me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, thy lost one bringing, bind my heart, O Lord, to thee. While the streams of life are springing, blessing others, O bless me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me.